Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
This is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and I am Paul Funchess, pastor of Family Ministries. And we are doing a three-part series where we are listening. We are trying to listen and understand those who attend Faith Bible Church, are members here at Faith Bible Church, and have experiences and a perspective to share with us. Those who are African American, we want to hear and understand better. And we are talking to some of our brothers who have experiences and perspectives to share with us and help us better understand, help us better know how to pray, and help us how to know better what to do and how to live in a world that's torn apart by hatred and divided by racial tensions. And so today we've invited Quinn Gammon. Quinn, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've also invited his parents, Dave and Jen. Dave and Jen, thanks.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And Dave and Jen are dear friends of mine. I'm just so excited that you were able to come and sit and talk with us today. And before we get started, wanted to read from James. One, again, this idea of wanting to hear and wanting to listen. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We live in an angry world, blown apart by anger and hatred that are in men's hearts. And we as believers, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And that's really, we're wanting to help people understand. So Dave and Jen, I'm going to start with you just real quick. You are obviously not African American.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that?
I picked up on that.
And you're as white as white can be.
As white as white can be. And you have an African American son. In fact, you have two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so tell me a little bit about, and we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but let's just kind of highlight that briefly. How did you come to adopt? What was that process like? And share with us kind of your experience, your story there.
Well, God calls all of us to care for the widow and the orphan. Mm. And so in our building our family life, God just said us at one point, just made it clear that we were to adopt. And the lawyer that we went through, which some friends had previously adopted through, we just, as we went in, we recognized that for us, it would be a privilege to call an African-American young man, young woman, our son. And so for us, it didn't matter if whoever the Lord chose, we were open to that. And we let them know that. And through that, God decided to sovereignly give us Quinn and Eamon. And we feel very blessed. But in doing that, we also recognize that we're about as white can be, right? Mm-hmm. I don't walk in this world with a fear that because of my skin color, somebody's going to make assumptions about me or not trust me. And we then going into this felt like we had a real responsibility to inform ourselves of what Quinn's life, what some of the hardships of his life could be and why, and what is the history behind some of the complaints and moans and cries behind the African American community today, that we couldn't just send him out into this world uninformed and unprepared for what he would face. And he has white parents, but the person on the street is not going to know that. Mm-hmm. And frankly, even in that, you know, if and when some of these things have happened to Quinn, we have a privilege that maybe some African American parents don't, to be able to go do something about it, right? Without fear. I don't have to fear by bringing if my son were ever pulled over wrongly, I don't have to fear going to the police, thinking that maybe there would be more repercussions, right? And even though he got out of alive the first time, that there might be more things we would have to face by bringing it to the police. I would just want to shove it under the rug and say, let's carry on. He's safe. We haven't even had to deal with that thought in our head that we don't even have any way to do anything about it. We actually, because of our white privilege, have avenues that we can follow. Yeah. And we feel confident in that. So it became really important for us, especially as the boys got older, to make sure that, you know, from everything from our children's literature up to books for myself and for David on the history and the church, and to listen to make sure that there were African Americans we were listening to in the Christian community as well as the community at large. And we have found, and we'll talk about this later, but how did we apply this? The knowledge that we came with, we couldn't just leave it as knowledge, right? As we studied God's word, as we studied outside resources, how did we apply that? And so it became important to us to have those books that we were reading. I've taken more to reading from women of color as I study my Bible, as I hear from sources. I've purposefully made those part of my process, and from pastors of color and from just people in general. What is their experience, so that we could prepare our boys for what was to come?
That's good. And I think towards the end, we'll talk a little bit about those resources and some of those resources that other people can use to educate themselves, to inform themselves. I think that's really, really good. When you use the term white privilege, okay, that can be a pretty
heavy, explosive.
It's a heavy, full of baggage term. So explain what you mean by that. Help people understand what you mean by that.
I think ultimately for us, it has meant that we operate differently in this world. My parents did not have a discussion with me about, here's what you do when you get pulled over. Keep your hands on the dashboard. You say, yes, sir, no, sir. You do what he says. You don't wear your hood out when you're running. You don't run past dark. We've had that conversation recently. And Quinn will let you know a little bit more about why. But the conversations that my parents had with me are very different than the conversations I have. And frankly, in our family, the conversations between my Caucasian children and my African-American children are very different. And I think that's, with what everything that's going on, that has become, I am more aware of it today than I was even 2 weeks ago. Because I recognize now, as I think about these things, I think, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And why can't they talk to this person? They can't. They don't have that privilege that I have. I have that freedom to think that I might actually be able to change things that way, because I've never been told I can't change things that way. And so for me, it just means that we are allowed and have the freedom to operate in this world in a way that the Black community does not. And that is not right. That is the injustice. It's not even going in the situation and having the experience. It's going into the situation with completely different set of presumptions and rules on how I operate in this world before I ever even open my mouth, right? Clearly you look at me and you see white woman, middle class, you know, and there are different assumptions made about me, or maybe no assumptions at all. Then if I came to you as Quinn's mom, African-American, you know, middle-aged woman, there would already be a list put on by society at large, put on me. And let me tell you, over the last couple of weeks, there are moments where I wished, for Quinn's sake, that I was brown-skinned so that I could really understand better what the community is crying out for, the Black community. They're hurting, and they need us to listen. Sorry. They need us not to be silent, because we do have a power that they largely do not have. And they're crying out. They're trying. They're holding peaceful protests. But they need us. They need us to hear that there's a problem, that healing is needed. They need us to stand with them. They need us to use the resources we have. And we can't be silent for these people. We can't be silent. You know, I recently heard again, well, this is a political issue. And I love what Quinn said when I brought that up, that somebody had mentioned that. He said, listen, my skin color is not a political issue. It is a God-given gift. Quit making even in that, we're putting down the community as a whole by saying your skin color is a political issue, therefore I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah.
It's not a biblical issue, so I don't have to worry about that.
And that's, and you know, what's really important is no one is endorsing the rioting and the looting and the sin that's happening in connection with some,
which is a small portion.
But and you know, people want to point to that. What you're missing in that is that there is a community. There are communities and neighborhoods full of people that are born into communities, and they're born into neighborhoods where they cannot get out of there unless someone intervenes and rescues them. Mm-hmm. They cannot get out of where they are. And it's a perpetuating cyclical destructive culture that they are born into, and life that they are born into, and they can't get out unless somebody rescues them. And so to look at the protests and the riots and things like that, and to miss that, like, don't miss the frustration and the pain,
the hurt
that these communities are experiencing. Mm-hmm. Don't miss that. Mm-hmm. Don't justify your conscience by saying, oh, well, yeah, look at all those people that are just destroying other people's property.
Which is such a small percentage.
Yeah, right. So
there's been so many peaceful protests, and I think it's time to listen. If we let this opportunity pass us by, who are we?
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
This is about understanding.
Yeah.
This is a biblical issue. Get wisdom, get understanding. It's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. And we need to do something with what we know. And I think for generations, we have been that Levite, that priest on that road that have passed by our hurting brothers and sisters. Mm. We just pass them by. We live in our comfort. We live in our convenience. Life is working for us. So we keep going, and we put on the blinders to those that are hurting around us. And that's why Christ brings up the story of the Good Samaritan. Here you have the Samaritan. He stops. He sees the Jew on the road. He sets aside his own will, his own agenda, and says, what must I do to care for my neighbor, to care for this man who is hurting?
Yeah.
We need to stop and see our brothers and sisters and care for them and be willing to climb outside of our comfort and our convenience to listen and to learn. And then to do something with what we know. We need to do something with that.
Yeah, you said before we started taping that you don't want to be you didn't want to be the billboard for, you know, white Americans, Caucasian Americans adopting African American. And I'm not saying everybody should do that. Okay, I'm not wanting to be the billboard for that, or make you guys the billboard for that. Not everybody should. Not everybody needs to do that. But maybe somebody listening to this should. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something practically that they need to consider doing.
Mm-hmm. And can I say, I have been more blessed by my boys and adopting them than they've ever been blessed by me. I am more blessed having them as my sons, and they are fully my sons. Mm. And so it's not something that's been a sacrifice for me. It's been a blessing for me.
Yeah.
But no, unless you are totally committed to preparing yourself, please don't do it. Please don't. You know, and that's true for adoption as a whole.
Absolutely.
Unless you're ready to take on the trauma and the issues that come with adoption naturally, and or the issues of transracial adoption, don't do it. Please don't. Inform yourself before you ever take that step.
Absolutely. Okay, so the white people in the room have talked enough.
We have.
Okay. We've talked enough. The whole point is to listen and to understand. Quinn, we want to hear you. So, Quinn, real quickly, I want you to give me an idea of what your experience has been, okay, as an African-American male in our society, in a town that, Spokane, let's just be honest, it's mostly white. It's mostly Caucasian, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, what has your experience been like in the society, in our town, and then even in our church? What's it like? What's your experience living in this society?
Well, before I start, I do want to say that anything that I share is not me, and I'm not saying it to make you feel sorry for me or feel sorry for African Americans. It's to help you understand the pain that I wake up with every morning. And it's exhausting. And I've only dealt with it for just over 17 years and I'm tired. I'm just dead and tired. So on that, my most recent experience with being discriminated against for my skin color was I was filling up my gas tank at a store, and there was a man that was across the pump from me, and he decided to approach me and asked me if me and my friends were going to go burn down the store that I was outside of. And I was shocked for about 2 seconds, and then I said, "Sir, I don't know if you're having a bad day or not. You don't know if I'm having a bad day or not, but I want you to know that I hope your family is safe and healthy during this time of quarantine. And I want you to know that the Lord loves you and I love you. And I hope he holds you and keeps you in the palm of his hand." And I got in my car and I drove away. And that's not the first experience that I've had to deal with that. Even there are certain ways I have to present myself that I'm sure many other people that I know do not have to. I don't wear hoodies when I'm going shopping or I'm in a mall. I don't put my hood up ever. That's just not a thing that I can, that's not as nice as it would be. I just don't do that. There's a certain time of night I don't leave the house. There are, certain ways I dress and behave that, to make myself sometimes feel presented better, so then I have less reason for someone else to think that I am a criminal simply because of my skin color. And unfortunately, I still, even in my place of work, I still get discriminated against customers. And it's hurtful. And thankfully, I have managers that get on that. But it is still just as hurtful. There's people in my school that are difficult to deal with sometimes. And there are just day-to-day concerns that I have to live with that I'm sure none of these three adults in here have had to worry about. When I leave my house, because of the recent events going on, I wonder if I'm going to come back. That's just a concern that I have to deal with. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. And there are times when, especially when in like middle school and early high school, when I wished I wasn't black. And that took a lot. It's God's grace that I am thankful for my skin color now, but that took a lot to realize that my skin color, despite what the world tells me, is not a curse. It is a gift. And it's not, and it shouldn't be seen as anything else. And as far as our church and our church community, I'm going to be honest, it's really lonely being one of the only African Americans in our church. I'm thankful that we've had more families that are of color that have come to our church. And I'm thankful that we have a Nepali ministry. But at the same time, it's still lonely. And it's hard to convey that emotion and that loneliness and that pain. But thankfully, despite how alone I feel, I'm not alone because I have Christ and he goes with me wherever I go. Despite what the world will try and tell me, I'm loved by the King, and that's really all that matters to me.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that. What would you, well, you're sitting with me. I'm your brother, right? We're brothers. Mm-hmm. What is it that you want me to know? You've shared a little bit about your experience and your loneliness and your fear and anxiety, even leaving your house and having to think about every motion that you make. You know, am I going to put my hands in my pocket? Am I going to put my hood up? You know, mm-hmm. I can't do these things. Mm-hmm. But what do you want me to know as your brother? What would help me understand better?
I would just say, I just have a couple questions that you don't have to answer out loud, just things to think about. Think to yourself, how many friends and people that you know that are of the same skin color as you? Just try and count them out. The amount of people that I know that are African American, I only need my two hands for that. That's lonely. I would also ask you to think, when you leave your house to drive, to go on a walk, to go on a run, do you worry about how your neighbors will perceive you, about how the people you pass will perceive you? Do you think to yourself when you wear a hood in a hoodie or just a baggy shirt even in a store, do you think, oh, they're going to think that I'm stealing? Do you think to yourself, do you think to yourself when you are in an elevator and a woman clutches her purse, are they seeing your skin color or are they seeing you as a person? I would never hurt a fly, and yet the world thinks that I'm going to hurt them because of my skin color. And that's hard to convey. That emotion is hard to convey. The feelings is hard to convey. It's hard. It's hard. That's really all I have to say, is that it is hard to live in fear. And thankfully, because of Christ, I don't have to live in fear. But so many people, so many of our African American brothers and sisters are living in fear, whether they have Christ or not, because the world treats them differently, because they don't look a certain way.
What are ways, again, talking to me, your brother, what are ways that I unknowingly hurt you? What are things that I do or that others do that are hurtful to you? Things we say, things we do, and again, unknowingly, not intentionally, but we're just not aware. We're just uninformed. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't get it.
Mm-hmm. And when I'm going to use the word you, but when I use you, I don't mean you specifically, but you as the general populace, I would just say, be careful at the jokes that you laugh at. Be careful of the jokes that you say. Be careful of what you say to other people, because you don't know how it's going to come across. You don't know how they're going to take it. So just approach situations with caution, but also understand that that person is not out to get you. The person just needs you to understand that there is a level of care that needs to be good, that needs to be put into what you say to them, because there are things that can be taken hurtful by other people. I remember growing up, for whatever reason, I just didn't even like being called black, and to other people that might be offensive. It's not necessarily offensive to me anymore, but to other people that can be perceived as offensive. And so I would just say, just be careful the things you say and the things you do. And also be careful within your own mind and heart. How do you perceive other people? When you see someone on the street, are you assuming who they are as a person based on what you see? Or have you taken the time to get to know that person and see the person that God has made them to be? And are you making your assumptions on that? Or because they look different than you, skin color or not, are you looking past the cover of the book and are you reading the story?
What are the gospel truths that help you daily? What are the things that you turn to and what are the things that you go to and think right about yourself to help you get through days and weeks? How have you pointed into the gospel, Dave and Jen?
Well, I go to Philippians 2, and I think about as we're exhorted to have this mind in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he came as a bondservant and came in the likeness of men. He came to where we needed him. He saw us. He saw our hurt. He saw that we were hopeless without him. And just as he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. This is the gospel, that he cared for us, that he came for us. You know, there's a C.S. Lewis quote that I just love, talking about Christ and his humility and his care to come for us. One may think of a diver first reducing himself to nakedness, then glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water, into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay, then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks surface again, holding his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover. He and it are both colored now that they have come up into the light. Down below, where it lay colorless in the dark, he lost his color too. Christ came for us. He set aside his prerogative, his comfort, his eternal convenience, and he bore our sins. It wasn't what he knew, it's what he did with what he knew. He came, and he exhorts us on that road as we walk our comfortable path, our convenient path. Stop. See the hurt around you. Care. Be restorative in your care, that we would look to the interests of others. You know, and when I look in the mirror, I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah.
I look to my own interests naturally. It's hard to look to the interests of others. So simply being Christ-like doesn't come naturally for us. I need him in me to then do the gospel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To see his transformative work in me, that I would take on the interests of others. And I think that's what he's calling us to do. I think that he's calling his church to be like him.
Yeah.
And then as we do so, that we would share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Fully engaged and bearing the weight of our brothers and sisters and being a blessing to the world around us.
Yeah, like you said, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Laying aside our privilege, laying aside our rights, laying aside what gives us status.
That's right.
Laying it aside and humbling ourselves and extending ourselves. That's what it looks like to be Christ-like.
It's the physiology of the gospel, not the theology of the gospel, but the physiology of the gospel.
Right. That's good. Amen.
Well, and I would just say, you know, with Quinn personally, we've had, it's hard. It's hard on him being an African-American man now in a white family. And we in our family have let him know that we see him. We see him in that. And I'm thankful that God sovereignly chose him for us. That's part of the gospel here. And he adopts us as sons. That has meant so much more to me through this process. And that God came for him. But I'm so thankful to the Lord that we have been given this physical reminder every day that a whole community exists that is sometimes told, often told, that it's less than, but that God cares for so much. He desires that that community would be saved. And you know what? I'm not their savior, but who am I to stand up and deny or pretend or tell them that the stories coming out of that community from those people are invalid, not worth my time? Am I being Jesus if that's the attitude I'm having to those things that I'm hearing? For many of you, maybe this is the first time that you've really found yourself thinking about some of the things you're hearing. Maybe some of you still aren't hearing them. Go hear, listen. Inform yourself. Don't put that necessarily on the black friends that you have to inform you. I don't think that that's fair. They have to do enough of that as it is. Don't be another burden on them. But there are plenty of resources out there for you to start living in someone else's shoes that you do not have to walk in every day.
And this is the heart of Christ. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is the heart of Christ to take on our burden.
God sovereignly had me pick up a book that I had purchased a while ago. It's His Testimonies, My Heritage, Women of Color on the Word of God, edited by Christy Anubule, Thabiti's wife. And just working through Psalm 119, that's what it is. It's different women commenting on the different sections of Psalm 119. And as I read Psalm 119, as I worked through this book, I just was, it was all the times that he says, I love your decrees. I love your statutes. Help me to live by them. But also the times that he sees evil, right? The psalmist writing this is like, I see evil around me and it makes me so angry, Jesus, because I know that you hate it, right? So if the psalmist is seeing evil and he's commenting on it and he's recognizing it, who are we as believers, as people of God, as people of scripture, to look at the evil in the world around us and be unmoved? Or to call it a political issue and not do anything about it? We do not have that right, right? If we're God's people and we think about the people that he went out of his way to embrace, the leper, the woman who had been bleeding, people that the church were like, we don't touch those people. They live over there. Christ came to them. Did he leave them as they were physically? He healed them physically. He also did it because ultimately what he wanted was their spiritual healing. But he did not ignore their physical state. He went out of his way to go find them, to heal their physical state, to ultimately heal their spiritual state. And we have people around us here in Spokane who are hurting. You know, one of the things that David and I did this last year that has been one of the biggest things that has changed my view and my spiritual walk this last year is we were asked to be part of the equity committee in Mead School District. And it has been so good. It has been so good to sit with people of all different colors and hear their experiences. It has been so good to talk about what can we do in this school. And we did several things this year that I'm so proud of. They did an art contest and asked for submissions and posted those in the school hallways, celebrating the people of all different color have a place in this world. We need to see each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to speak healing words, not damaging words. And we need to recognize that things are different for some in our community. And it was just really sweet to sit there. It was sweet to have that principal care. Shout out to him, Mr. Hughes, we love you. And it was sweet to know that we were doing something with the skills we had in the community where we were at. And I have been changed even more so by that experience. And I'm so glad that the Lord sovereignly put that in our hands. Quinn, you were going to share something too?
Just some practical things that you can be doing to, and just things that have encouraged me are reading about the throne room of heaven, and it will be filled with every tribe and tongue and nation. And for the first time, I will not feel alone. And that's very sweet to me. That's something I get to look forward to, and I'm thankful for that. And just other simple practical things.
But we don't wait for heaven to celebrate that, right?
We don't.
And that's we want to have some of that here on earth, a piece of that on earth.
Yeah, that's why we have things like the MLK March. That's one day a year where I get to walk alongside other members of the African American community in Spokane and not be afraid of my skin color. And that is a very sweet thing. And I love it. I love every minute of it.
Going down to the protest, you did that as well with Dad?
Yeah, Dad and I went down to the protest. And it was another instance where I felt heard. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be showing that we hear the people around us. And that could just be as simple as if you see an African American being harassed, like I was at the gas station, most of you know me and you would have stepped in. Would you do that for someone else that's a part of the African American community? That's what you need to ask yourself. And if not, then you need to. Because the Lord calls us to come to those who are hurting. And that person is probably hurting in that scenario.
We've talked a little bit about the fact that we are all in Adam. We are all one race. We are all brothers. You know, Cain killed his brother. And we have been hating and killing our brothers ever since. And the gospel gives us a new heart, right? we have a new heart. We want to love our brothers and sisters. We want to love and bring them to a place of knowing their Savior. You said a minute ago, Jen, you're not the Savior, but we're not the Savior, but we know the Savior.
But Jesus is.
I can't make restoration happen completely, but I know we're heading towards restoration. And too often we emphasize the spiritual truths of salvation without realizing that there are physical realities of salvation as well. And we don't see those fully realized yet, but we will see those fully realized. Spiritual salvation and physical salvation, they're both will be accomplished. Mm-hmm. And we ought to be working even now as the community of Christ, as the church of God. We ought to be working to see people brought out of their circumstances and situations, mm-hmm. physical.
Yes.
Because that's a testimony to the gospel.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Well, and who's going to listen? If we're not going to meet their physical needs, if we're not going to tell them that they matter and we see them,
mm-hmm. right?
Are we going to get any further?
Right.
We need to love them. And that means speaking out when they are being treated unjustly. And that is what loving them is. Mm. Showing them and demonstrating to them what Christ's love is. Coming away from whatever comforts and going and helping them where they're at. Because he didn't wait for us to come to him. Mm. He came to us. And that's a sweet thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he calls us to go outside the camp where he is, where he calls us to go and be a demonstration of his love and his grace and his gospel truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so very good. Thank you. Thank you for everything, Quinn, that you shared today. Mm-hmm. And Dave and Jen, thank you for being willing to come and share. You have some resources and we're going to put those on our show notes.
Yeah, I just put together some books that I've used to inform myself. Mm. And I put together some podcasts that I like to listen to from members of the African American community and Facebook people you could follow and Instagram people you could follow, kids literature. I would encourage you to look that list over and choose one. Just choose one and use it to help yourself see things in a way that you have never seen them before. And you may not agree with everything that's said. I don't agree with everything that's said in every single one of the resources I'm suggesting. But every single one of those things has caused me to think, right? Mm. And that's what we want people to be. We don't want to be non-thinkers and I'm just comfortable here in my non-thinking space, just doing what I've always been doing. Mm-hmm. I want you to get outside of that. I want you to think in a different way. And I want you to be challenged in your thinking in a way that makes some of it change and some of it stay the same. That's okay if not everything has changed. But you know, I bet all of us have areas, I will until I die, where my thinking needs to be challenged, mm-hmm. where my thinking is being dictated by my sin and not by God's word.
Yeah.
And so as you go through those, don't write me, don't email me. Oh, how could you put that up there? Because I hope it made you think. I hope it made you think. And so there's all kinds of different resources and I want you to use that. You know, the other thing that Dave and I were talking about is We Are Patrol puts out a parent and child book. And actually this week it's free. The digital format is free. They're giving it for free, which is awesome. If you go to We Are Patrol. And if people were interested in doing a book study this summer, it would be probably four times that we would meet and go through the four chapters. I think David and I would really, if there were enough interested people, I think there'll be a link somewhere with this podcast to let Paul know that you were interested. We would be willing to do a Zoom meeting and work our way through that together. I love that the Bible is the source of what the book is about, but it deals with racism and reconciliation according to God's word. Mm. And, you know, reconciliation, I think, has gotten a bad rap. But when you think about that, that term is a biblical source, right?
Absolutely.
We are reconciled to Christ, or we're reconciled to God through Christ's death. I think of 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Everything is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And yes, I acknowledge that that is first and foremost the gospel. But we cannot be reconciled. We cannot help others be reconciled to Christ, be tools for Christ to help that come, like we talked about, unless we're also physically reconciling ourselves to them, right?
Yeah. And caring for them.
And caring for them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other practical part of that, and I so appreciated there, Laura Milliken, call her out. Thank you, Laura. She reached out to me and said, I am crushed by what's going on. What can I do? What are your suggestions? That was so encouraging to me over this last week. And what we talked about was, what are your gifts and how do you feel God calling you to use them? And have you considered how you could use those gifts in support of the Black community to let them know you see them? They are valuable. They are made in His image. We talked about specifically for her, her photography. She's a great photographer. Is there a way that you could photograph those in your community and put something together for Facebook or Instagram that would just say, I see you, you're valued, you're beautiful, you're made in God's image. Wherever you're at, the Equity Committee for us has just been an awesome thing for us to do. Mm. I was thinking about my curriculum. We have a company and I write science curriculum. Mm. I make sure that all of that curriculum contains African-American inventors and scientists who historically were ignored. And so it doesn't have to be you running out to volunteer if you don't feel called to do that. Mm. Some of you may and should.
I love what you said, though. You know, each one of us has been given gifts. Each one of us has gifts. Some have been given different gifts, you know, greater gifts or more public gifts, you know, and I think we have a responsibility to use those. Mm. But all of us have been given gifts of some measure. So how can you use those gifts that God has given you by His grace to shed light on this and to be a blessing and to care for others and to, like you were talking, Dave, lay down, sacrifice yourself and humble yourself and reach out to those hurting mm-hmm. and that need you to reach out to them. How can you use your gifts? I think that's really practical. Just ask yourself that question. And I would just, again, encourage our church. You're listening to this. I don't know where you're at on the spectrum. And you may listen to this and you may be in disagreement with what's being said, or you may be being challenged by what's being said. I would just encourage you, wherever you're at, you need to be growing and you need to be pursuing change and transformation. If you think you have it all figured out and you don't need to grow anymore or have your mind and heart challenged, then you are in a dangerous place spiritually. Mm-hmm. You have not arrived. You need to continue growing. I don't care what age you are, you need to keep growing. And so I would just encourage you to let yourself be challenged. What are you missing? What is it that you don't get? What do you need to be informed about? And take this as nothing more than a prompt, as an urge to grow and to seek truth and to grow in your understanding of who Christ is and what the gospel means for you and for your community and for your engagement with that community. I'm going to read a passage and we'll close this down. Psalm 133, and this is the heart that I have for all of us. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Listen to this. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That is how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And Faith Bible Church, we want to dwell in unity one with another.
Amen.
And there's going to be people in our church that are all over the map politically. Mm-hmm. They're all over the map socially. I mean, we're going to be in different places, but we need to pursue unity. And together, we need to care for those that are hurting and care for those that are oppressed. That's our role in our society as a church.
Please make this a people issue.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor.
It needs to be about people. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be about those that are hurting and need us as the community of Christ to care for them and bring them the gospel. Thank you for taking time to share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's the beginning of a conversation, beginning of people being informed and understanding.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org
For more resources, articles, and information about our ministries,